The title of my sermonette today is Choice, Life or Death. Choice, Life or Death. This will be a critical thinking sermonette. So I have a multiple choice question. Which of the following statement pertains to true Christians? A, celebrating Christmas. B, celebrating Easter. C, be attentive now. Keep and observe God's holy days and keep the Sabbath on Saturday from Friday night sunset to Saturday night sunset, a full 24 hours in which Jesus and the apostles observed. Or D, go to church on Sundays. Now we all know the answer, but just like there are choices to make in the above example, there are choices in life. Every day we wake up and have to decide which clothes to wear, what to eat, which foods to buy, how to come to the feast, by plane, by car, or walking. One also has to choose how to live. There are only two choices, right or wrong, truth or errors. It's a very simple concept. But whichever path one follows, whether it be the right way of life or the wrong way, they are and will be consequences and curses or rewards and blessings. We won't go there, but Deuteronomy 27 and 28 has a lot to say about blessings and cursings. But I would like to go to Deuteronomy 30, 19, verses 19 through 20. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God makes a plea here to turn to him, to choose life. Why? These are not suggestions. These are commands from God. So, why? So we can live. And in Daniel 6, verses 1 through 28, there was a plot against Daniel. We won't turn there, but this is one example of choosing the right way of life and the blessings that followed. Daniel was instructed not to pray, but he chose the right way of life, and he continued praying and worshiping the one true God. He knew what the consequences would be, but he was saved from the lion's den. He wasn't harmed in any way due to his choice and commitment to God's way of life. And what did King Darius do due to Daniel's choosing to follow the true God? Well, let's read that decree that King Darius carried out in Daniel 6, verse 25 through 28. Daniel 6, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So he did follow God's commands, and look what happened to him. He made it through, and he worshiped the only one true God. Now, in update 871, Mr. Eric Rank's editorial titled, "Who is Your God?" stated a poignant section of the article in the subject of choosing. I'd like to quote a few sentences from the editorial. Paul provides a warning about people who do not serve the true God in his letter to the Philippians. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. This is in Philippians 3, 18 through 19. I continue with the editorial. Clearly, those whom Paul describes have the wrong focus in their lives by seeking earthly pleasures of an immediate nature rather than the spiritual fulfillment of righteous living. They choose the way that leads to death. It's a grim ending for those who choose to turn from God and serve themselves. And what comes to mind when the word choice is indicated in the Bible? And I'll give you a hint. Adam and Eve, the two trees. We hear a lot about the two trees, and we have to be reminded of that, because that's the essential part of choice. And that will brings us back to the beginning, which we will go. And Adam and Eve did make a choice. So let's go to Genesis. Actually, we won't go there. Genesis 2, 16 through 17. In the scripture, God warns Adam of a choice to make. But I'll read that scripture for you. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat." So there's two choices here. "For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." But you can please turn with me to Genesis 3, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 3, 1 through 8. Verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Verse 7, "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." This recounts the temptation of the fallen man. So the ending, brethren, it's so easy to comprehend the concept of choosing life or death. The hard part is resisting the temptation of sliding to the wrong side of choice. For my last scripture, please turn with me to Matthew 13, verses 41 to 43, Matthew 13, 41, 43. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And we'll skip down to verse 47 through 50. And Jesus is speaking here also. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which it was full. They drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, tells all peoples to choose life over death, because the result of choosing life in God's eyes leads to eternal life, and the result of choosing death results in death. There is a choice. We can try to make this world, this present world, a better place, or we can pray that the return of Jesus Christ and God's kingdom will come soon and that we are ready.